Thank you. And my talk, I think, is a little different from the other talks in the session. I'm not sure why, but I guess it was hard to fit find enough topics at the same. I'm Robin Brumfield. I'm the Farm Management Specialist at Rutgers University, and I want to talk to you about an estate planning training session that we had for our New Jersey producers. My co-authors are Jenny Carlio, Jeff Heckman, Meredith Melendez, Barbara O'Neill, and Nicholas Palanin from Rutgers, and then Robert Parsons from the University of Vermont, who's our Northeast Specialist on estate planning. I guess this is why I was put in the session, because we received funding, regional funding, but the Northeast Risk Management Education Center provides funding for the Northeast. There is no national risk management education funding. It's all by the regions. So this is our team who worked together to make the planning session. It kind of grew out of Annie's project that we've had in New Jersey for the last 4 years, which is focused on women management training. And in a survey of 137 Annie's Project graduates in 2012, 69% of them said that they would like to learn more about estate planning. In addition, 71% of those surveyed anticipate passing their farms or businesses down to their children. And the average age of the principal farm operator in the U.S. is 58. In New Jersey, it's 59.5. And this was based on the latest census of agriculture. So they are getting up to what we traditionally think of as retirement age. Farmers in general have a median net worth 7.5 times greater than U.S. households. I think probably horticulture, if we could break that out, probably has an even higher amount. And much of this wealth is very illiquid, though. They can't just take it with them. It's tied up in their land, in their greenhouses, in their buildings, and in their equipment. So often they could sell the business to retire, but then the business isn't continuing in the next generation. So we came up with an 8-hour, one-day course that we offered in 3 locations in New Jersey, South, Central, and North. And it was attended by 65 producers. We got them started on a rough draft of their estate plan, and one of the keys we learned from Annie's project is networking and time in the course to start writing things down so that they will hopefully continue that once they go forward. So you see in our program we had several breaks where they do group work or individual work throughout the day. Let's give them a little bit of break. So the main topics that we considered on the program were farm management transfer methods, calculating how much they'll need for retirement savings, where are they going to get sources of retirement income, rules for tax deferred savings withdrawals, methods that they can use to increase farm income so that they can support multiple generations, in other words, the retiring generation and the new generation coming forward, how they find legal and financial experts that are familiar with horticulture, because we're a very urbanized state and most attorneys aren't familiar with agriculture or horticulture, and then communication strategies. This is, as a farm management specialist, this is where I see the most need, is a lot of the owners have everything up in their head, but they haven't communicated it to other people in the family. So the resources that we used. We developed a website several years ago after we did some focus groups with our producers in New Jersey, and you notice we call it later life farming instead of estate planning. And the reason for this is producers are never going to die. It's a lifestyle, and so they don't want to give that up. It's their baby. It's very hard, not only in horticulture, but in any small business, they don't want to let go. So what they really want to do is keep doing some part of the business, but turn over the parts they don't like to the next generation and keep the fun parts for themselves. So that's why we called it later life farming, because the reality is, to successfully transition, you're probably going to have multiple generations working in that enterprise at the same time. So at the bottom is the website. We have 10 different modules. again, we have, you know, we track this. We don't find a lot of people using this website. Why? Because they're never going to die, and they don't really want to look at this. So we tried to come up with this one-day session to start, at least get the process started. Another resource that we use is a workbook developed by Pennsylvania Farm Link in Pennsylvania, right next door, but obviously legal issues are somewhat different in the two states. So we also we went through the workbook and we gave them an addendum of things that are different in New Jersey versus Pennsylvania, but we didn't really want to reinvent the wheel on either one of these resources. So if you go to our Later Life Farming website, you'll find lots of links to other resources throughout the country from other states that had good information. Then at the end, we did what is called a post and pre-evaluation test, because what happens if you interview people at the beginning of your workshop and then you interview them at the end, you usually get terrible results, because at the beginning they don't know what they don't know, so they say they know a lot, and then at the end they realize, I didn't really know much about that topic. So this type of evaluation design was developed to overcome that problem. So everything is asked at the end, and we ask, what did you know at the beginning of the session? Now what do you know? So it's a better reflection of what actually was gained through the class. So 52 of the 65 participants filled out the survey, so we got an 80% response rate, and 94% of them indicated that they did have an increase in knowledge. And in every category, it was about a full point on a scale from 1 to 5, with 1 being poor and 5 being excellent, how much their knowledge increased. So I'll go through those questions very quickly. So in terms of knowledge on improving family communications, which used a lot of videos and role-playing, their knowledge increased 32%. So the question before the interpersonal videos, talks and discussions, how prepared were you to discuss estate planning and farm transitioning with family members and business partners? And then the follow-up question was, now that you've had this course, how's your knowledge? So you see it increased a full point. As far as knowledge on assessing future personal financial needs, their knowledge increased there by 31%. So the question at the beginning was, before identifying financial needs for now and the future, personal, did you have a realistic idea of the future personal financial needs of yourself, your family members, and your business partners? And again, a lot of them don't really want to think about this, because they're just going to keep running things as usual. In terms of looking at future business financial needs, you see that increased by 34%. So the question was, do you have a realistic idea about your future financial needs? In terms of identifying where the sources of income will come from, that increased by 26%. And then understanding legal and financial realities of farm transfer, this increased 60%. And that's a tough one, because, you know, there's a lot of legal issues. Not everybody's really up on the legal terms and what's required, but they obviously have thought about this some. And so before, do you have a realistic idea of the potential pitfalls of farm transfer and estate planning? And then now that you've had the class, do you have a realistic idea? So more than a full point there. One of the things we talk about is how to assemble an expert team. So it's not only the lawyer, but it would be the accountant, the family members, and so forth. So we ask them, how is their knowledge increased on the expert team that they need to choose to prepare their estate plan? And that knowledge increased by 41%. So the conclusions of the course, we found that they at least have some progress on a draft of their estate plan. They did a lot of social networking with other farmers who were kind of in the same boat as them. I think it helps to share with other producers that they have similar kinds of issues. And as far as follow-up, during the class, we asked them to write down 5 goals that they have for their estate plan. And then we mailed those to them 3 months later to remind them to keep on track. Hopefully, you know, hey, these are the goals that you said you wanted to do. How are you as far as working on those? Then we plan to do a 6 months after the course evaluation, which will be next month. So we'll mail out a survey and see if there is some positive change. Hopefully, some of them at least will have an estate plan completed, and we hope all of them have made some progress on their estate plan. So again, here is our Later Life Farming website with the teaching modules that we used. In addition, our videographer recorded one live session for each topic. We had three sessions, so there was no need to record all three, but so there's resources there, because we really throw a lot of information very quickly in New Jersey. We're, you know, the Northeast, we got to be quick. So there's resources for the people that attended it, but for other people as well. We're just in the process of editing those videos and adding those, so there will be an 11th section on that Later Life Farming website with resources, so hopefully that may be useful for some of you in extension programs in other states. So I have that I have time left for questions.
Yeah, we actually have time for a few questions, and I actually like that terminology of later life farming, because again, I agree, a lot of farmers, their farm is their life, and they don't think they would ever die. So.
None of us want to, but farmers in particular. Yes?
Yeah, just a question about targets. So, you know, you show an improvement in their knowledge base. And is there a point in that knowledge scale where you're comfortable saying, okay, these folks can plan and make appropriate plans for the future?
Well, I guess we didn't really look at that way, you know. We just saw that, okay, it increased, so we were happy with that from one to, you know, a scale of 1 to 5. On every category, it was about 1 point they moved up. And so, you know, we thought that was a pretty good increase for one day. But we tried to give them the resources, point them in the right direction so that they could get going. And we should learn more from these follow-up surveys to see if that was indeed successful. So stay tuned for next year, I suppose. Anyone else?
Just a comment, because at the Great Lakes Expo, that was one of the sessions that would be very well attended by growers, you know, talking about the transition to the next generation. Have you considered giving that talk to that type of setting, like the Great Lakes Expo?
Well, if we're invited, we had another program in New Jersey in the mid-90s, and the most popular, we had all farm business management topics, and the history of that was we had a minimum wage in New Jersey that was higher than the federal minimum wage, and farmers lobbied for an agricultural minimum wage. And our governor at the time wisely said, no, I don't want agriculture to be second-class citizens, but what I will do is I will give farmers grants, basically the difference between the federal minimum wage and the state minimum wage. The catch was they had to take farm management training. So we had programs all over the state, different topics. It was a very simple application process, sort of a one-page form. They had to basically show their income tax return, what their labor rates were, because we have a lot of hired labor in New Jersey. And the most popular session there was estate planning. So we did end up going to other states at that time. So we should certainly entertain that, especially if it's in a warm place during the winter.
Okay, it's 11, almost 16. We'll start there. Thank you.
Thank you.